A new nuclear deal with Iran is no longer an option. Is Russia poised to use dirty bombs in Ukraine? Should Russia be designated a terrorist state? House Progressive Caucus steps into geopolitical minefield. U.S. targeting Al-Shabaab, Africa's most dangerous terrorist group. U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit set for December. U.S. push for rapid security force for Haiti is delayed. I am Ambassador Curtis Ward, and this is the Washington Report. Iran's brutal crackdown on civil protests and supplying kamikaze drones to Russia for killing civilians and destroying civilian infrastructure in Russia's prosecution of its illegal war in Ukraine make it politically impossible for the Biden-Harris administration to engage the Iran government on a new Iran nuclear deal. Iran's egregious behavior met with a string of strong condemnation and multiple new U.S. sanctions imposed on Iran. Donald Trump's withdrawal of the U.S. from the nuclear deal resulted in Iran restarting its dangerous nuclear weapons development program, putting the region's security at greater risk. Putin's false flag claim that Ukraine will use dirty bombs in Ukraine-controlled territory and blame Russia was sharply denounced and characterized in Washington as a precursor to Russia's intended use of WMDs in Ukraine. We recall the use of chemical weapons by Russian-backed Assad against Syrians on August 21st, 2013, which killed some 1,400 Syrians, including children. And most importantly, Assad and Putin escaped accountability, which no doubt led Putin to believe he can use WMD in Ukraine, also with impunity. Russia has also been accused of using chemical weapons in Syria. While the U.S. would have been alone in a military response to Russia's egregious actions in Syria, this time around, Putin would more likely face a collective response from the U.S. and NATO. Putin's statement that he would not use nuclear weapons in Ukraine cannot be trusted. There could be some support for designating Russia a terrorist state for the willful and wanton killing of Ukraine's civilians and threatened use of WMDs in the conduct of its illegal war, intended to drive fear in the population and coerce Ukraine to concede its territory. In this context, an ill-conceived letter signed by 13 members of the U.S. House Progressive Caucus to President Biden urging diplomacy with Russia to end Putin's illegal war in Ukraine received strong condemnation in Washington and deep concerns in Kyiv. To suggest diplomatic engagement with the war criminals in the Kremlin and doing so without consultations with Ukraine's political leaders exposed the naivete of the caucus on geopolitical and security issues. The letter, apparently written in July, was released a couple of weeks before the midterm elections. The timing is inconceivably unwise and a gross display of political ignorance and an attempt at political relevance with the Democrats on track to lose control of the House and struggling to keep control of the Senate. The immediate backlash and harsh criticisms forced a hasty retreat and retraction of the letter. President Joe Biden will host a U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit in Washington, D.C., December 13 to 14. According to President Biden, hosting the summit will demonstrate U.S. enduring commitment to Africa and will underscore the importance of U.S.-Africa relations and increased cooperation on shared global priorities. Economic engagement, commitment to democracy and human rights, mitigating impact of COVID-19 and future pandemics, working collaboratively to strengthen regional and global health, the impact of food security and response to climate crisis are on the agenda. However, the elephant in the room will be China and the Biden administration, which is set on competing against China on every continent. The summit will set the stage for a robust anti-China program in Africa. The Biden-Harris administration ramped up U.S. support of East African and African Union-led forces to counter the threat from the terrorist group Al-Shabaab, one of Al-Qaeda's most dangerous affiliates, which has killed thousands of people, including Americans, in Somalia and across East Africa, particularly in Kenya. The State Department designated 5 Shabaab leaders as specially designated global terrorists, and the Treasury Department concurrently designated a network of 9 of Al-Shabaab financial facilitators. Designation subjects all property and interest in property of those designated that are under U.S. jurisdiction are blocked, and all U.S. persons, individual and corporate, are generally prohibited from engaging in any transactions with them. Al-Shabaab, which pledged allegiance to Al-Qaeda in 2009, officially became an Al-Qaeda affiliate in 2012. The group maintains strong connection to Al-Qaeda's senior leaders and coordinates its propaganda with Al-Qaeda. Al-Shabaab earns a whopping $100 million per year from extortion, kidnapping, and illicit trade, and provides financial support to Al-Qaeda affiliates around the world. The UN Security Council adopted a joint U.S.-Mexico draft resolution on October 21st, imposing targeted sanction regime, including asset freeze, travel bans, and arms embargo measures, designating Jimmy Chérissier, leader of Haiti's notoriously powerful G9 Families and Allies gang, and establishing a committee supported by a group of experts to designate other individuals and entities in Haiti on which the sanctions measures will apply. A push by the Biden administration for a second Security Council resolution to authorize the deployment of a military force to Haiti, as requested by Prime Minister Ariel Henry, was slowed by lack of support from countries unwilling to provide military personnel. The U.S. will provide arms and logistics for any military force authorized by the UN Security Council. But with the U.S. elections just days away, there's no chance of U.S. military personnel being deployed. The issue on the agenda for Secretary Antony Blinken's visit to Canada is hopefully to resolve this issue. The timing aside, sending one's military into a hostile environment is a difficult decision for any country. I am Ambassador Curtis Ward, and this is the Washington Report.